At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Merkle Media.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, crossed the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people who really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to Hammer Lane Legends. I am Brian Merkel.
And I'm Brian Shipper.
If you have a crazy and wild story you would like to share with us that you've had on the road, or if you'd like to just talk with us about your experiences on the road as a truck driver, as an Uber driver, as an EMT driver, as a, I don't know, you name whatever kind of driver. Shipper, you look like you're going to say something there.
Nope.
Give us a call.
Go right ahead, Yapper.
go right ahead. Give us a shout out. Send us an email. Go to HL... Yeah.
You want the list?
I do. I'm actually now I got to look at hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. And send us a message that way, or go to the HammerLaneLegends.com webpage. Hit the contact section. You can get a hold of us that way. We don't care which way you do it. Just get a hold of us. Either way works for us. We'd love to have a conversation with you. Shipper, tell them about the voicemail line.
Voicemail line, short stories, something you've seen on the road, happened to you. You were a part of, you were the cause of, whatever.
You were just a victim of.
Yes. You seen it and your eyes are scarred for life. Whatever. You leave a short voicemail. Yeah, a short story. We'll compile them all together and do a voicemail show one year.
As you can tell, we haven't done one for a while.
Right.
They're just not piling up very much. So
You can leave a voicemail at 515-585-MERK, 515-585-6375. Short story, like I said, a couple minutes long. If you got the gift of gab, you need to get a hold of the show. We'd love to do an interview with you.
Amen, brother. And while you're there on the webpage, take a look at the gear section and check it out. I'm not saying a word. I know. I only do what I need to do because Jack says I have to.
I'm not saying a word.
Jack is supposedly looking into some new stuff and hats and all that, and he's been looking into that for a year and a half. So, I don't know. It's a step by step. He's a young guy. What can I tell you? He's just young, and, I have to, I love him. He's my kid. So,
Well, you have to.
I have to. That's the truth. And anyway, if you find yourself in need of any kind of preparedness stuff, you know where to go. Go to preparewithhll.com. That's preparewithhll.com. Winter's coming up. You never know if you're going to have power outages. They've got generators. They've got, what do you call those, solar power generators. They've got solar panels. They've got food that will last you 25 years on the shelf and coffee that will last you 30 years on the shelf. And if your coffee is lasting you for 30 years on the shelf, you've got a problem. You don't drink enough, that's for sure. But all that being said, Shipper, tell them about Buy Me a Coffee.
Buy Me a Coffee is a virtual tip jar, keeping us fueled, keeping us caffeinated. Just follow simple directions. If you feel like you want to leave a tip, go right ahead. Otherwise, thanks for looking. Move along.
Follow the simple directions. That's what we tell most truck drivers. Just right. Follow the simple directions. They're not that simple.
Just hit Google and say, send me to.
There you go. Just ask Siri.
Yes.
Anyway, today we're talking.
Me and Siri had a problem yesterday. There was no texting available.
No texting.
And if I didn't have to, I don't have texting. How's Sean getting a hold of me?
Right.
No.
What happened?
I don't know.
Just a glitch in the system.
It was a me thing. It wasn't you. You know.
Yeah.
So
that's what Siri said. It's a me thing. It's not you. Our relationship is not what it should be. So
I ended up calling two people for tech support, and they couldn't help me.
Wow.
And then I ended up calling my wife. I said, "Can you text?" She says, "Yeah." I says, "Okay." I says, "What? Give me all the parameters. What's on? What's off?" She says, "Well, how do I get there?" I'm like. Step one, go to the little Google, the little icon that says settings, and hit it. And, what does that do? Believe me, it was a long, drawn-out process.
But that sounds like an hour-long conversation. Yeah,
somehow or another, I had my first lunch in Harrisburg because I wasn't moving until I got this thing fixed. Because my maps weren't working, everything. Wow. I was like, I need to have this because... PennDOT's playing wall Jenga again weekend.
That had to just be a your phone thing.
Yeah, it was. It was. Wow. It was a me thing, yes.
Did you hit something and screw something up or just?
I didn't. You know me. I don't know if I do or not. Right. You know, I just push buttons. But,
until it works.
I do it like I usually do. I put the charger in on it when I come home in the morning and, leave it go until I go to work. And for some reason, it's like the outside world wasn't getting a hold of me for some reason. Yeah.
The information bureau was closed.
Yeah, because it kept saying text did not go through. Wow. Text did not go through.
Holy cow. Well,
because I blamed it on Sean and the Maven system, but it wasn't.
That's a good excuse, though.
Yeah, it was. Anyway, enough of me.
Yeah, that's funny. Well, that's a little update on what's going on in Shipper's wonderful world. Yes. So, hey, all that being said, today we are talking with Jamie and Johnson. How are you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing good. Doing good.
Fantastic. It's good to hear your voices. Jamie, how are you feeling?
I'm not great, but I'm okay.
That's good. Well,
I have an issue still, but my back's feeling better not being in the truck. So.
Yeah, I'm sure. Oh, boy, do I hear that. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad to hear your voice. I'm glad
early retirement for her.
It does. I know, right? That's what we're all shooting for, early retirement.
That's something I figured we could kind of discuss and get into is part of the driving that isn't always fun, the medical stuff that can come with it.
Yes.
Why we aren't driving at the moment, but possibly going back to it, So.
Yeah, no, we can even start there and then we can just work from there.
We can circle back, as Jen Psaki says.
There you go. We can circle back or we could
or we could U-turn, whatever.
or we could just stumble off the stage and fall down the flight of steps coming off the plane. So, right. We can do any of those things. We're good.
Yes. We're multi-talented.
That was definitely a big reason why neither one of us are driving right now. Uh-huh. I didn't want to go out over the road by myself and be gone. We did that for a little bit and, that gets rough on a relationship,
Yes.
So Jamie had, some back issues going on, basically a slip disc and, bouncing around in a semi truck for 6,000-7,000 miles a week doesn't help that at all.
Say it's not so. That doesn't happen. It's only Pennsylvania. Those roads aren't good,
right? It's not our infrastructure everywhere.
Yes,
those potholes don't bounce it right back in place.
That is the truth. Yes,
but don't worry, Pete's on it.
So it's been a few months months of not driving, but we don't miss it all that much,
right?
You know,
but boy, you get in your car and you go shift every once in a while.
Yeah. Turn wide.
You know? Yep.
That's hilarious.
He's got a little Yugo. He's swinging out wide.
Don't mind me, folks.
I still got a bad habit of that.
Yeah.
I don't need the other in my car.
It is funny, those things that you do as a truck driver, because it's just habit and you just do it. I remember following Tony the one day. He was in his little pickup truck, his little Ranger. And like, he's turning left in front of me and he goes way out. And then that turns in. We got to wherever we were going. I'm like, what are you doing, Tony? He said, why? I said, you're driving like you're driving a big truck. I said, it's just your truck, your pickup. You're good. You're not going to hit nothing.
You're driving your hood of your tractor.
Yeah.
There's no 53 foot back there.
Yeah, exactly, dude. You're fine. You'll be all right. Don't worry about it. But yeah, we both laughed about that for a few minutes. And then yeah. Basically told me, shut up, old man. So it's okay. But so
yeah, we've been up here for a few months now off the road. Uh-huh. And we've been thinking about all the places we've been recently and over the years.
Sure.
And, we definitely enjoy that. We definitely enjoy traveling and all that, but it can take a toll on you. If anyone's done it for long enough, they know, so.
That is the truth. It'll wear you out, and it does. I totally agree with that. Both Shipper and I, we've both been doing it. I'm 30 and Shipper's like 35 or something like that in that range. And it's like, it wears you out. This job wears you out after you're bouncing all over the place. It's nice to see stuff, but at the same time, you're basically seeing most of it through the windshield, which is, My two favorite times of day is sunrise and sunset, just watching the sun come up and watching the sun go down. And I get to see both those, especially in the summertime. In the wintertime, forget it. I'm not starting until it's dark.
Yeah, you're definitely night shift at that point. Right now with the summer, you're a two shifter.
Yeah, exactly.
Middles and nights.
and right now, it's the craziest thing. It's like, since I've had my surgery, I can't sleep. I'm laying in bed. I go
all
to bed.
Jacked up on Mountain Dew. Huh?
I don't know what it is. I said, I said to Michelle, I can't figure this out. I slept downstairs on the sofa for a couple of weeks, and then finally moved upstairs back up to the bedroom where I can get when I start going up and down the steps again. And
what's gonna happen? Your first week that you come back, you're going to be so dog tired. The regular air show is not going to show this week because I'm tired.
I can't do this. How do people work and stay awake?
You're going to have to keep that coffee flowing. That's
amen. I got a nice big tall cup of coffee with me up here in studio today. Cause I was like, I finally fell asleep at 5:30 this morning. I went to bed at midnight. And I finally fell asleep at 5:30. I looked at the clock. I'd been rolling around all night long. I got up, went to the bathroom, came back, sat back down on the bed. I looked at the clock again. I'm like, all right, it's 5:30. I laid down and I closed my eyes. And the first thing that popped into my head was, yeah, sure. Now you can sleep. It's 5:30. Now you got to get up in 3.5 hours, but now you can sleep. So,
that's just practice for going back to work. Five hours of sleep. And
yes, it is.
Yep, that's
go
it.
Go back at it.
Yes, that's it. You got it. Well, it really is. I'm glad you're at least feeling a little bit better there, Jamie. It's good to hear your voice, and glad that things are at least coming along a little bit. So since you're neither one of you is driving, or are you doing any kind of driving?
That's
or
what they just said. He's not going out on the road.
On the road. I didn't know if he's doing anything local. That's what I'm asking.
He's taking care of her.
I know he is. He's a good husband.
That's it.
Yeah, I still got to go make a paycheck.
Same.
All right, now you just threw me under the bus.
unfortunately, I can't just take care of her. So, the electric bill still got to get paid.
You don't have to pay that.
Are you sure? They're now free.
Yeah, it's a new government thing. You don't have to pay any bills.
I haven't signed up for that yet. But.
Well, what it is now they want just put out all your bills under your college bills, and then everything is covered.
Right. Just call it college fund money.
College fund. Yeah. So,
oh, but.
So what are you doing with yourself Johnson?
I just started working for, I'm working like a general contractor. I've been doing this for about a month now. And he has his hands in all kinds of stuff. He does rentals, which we work on. He cuts a lot of grass. I've actually went and done some of that, learned how to be a lawn mowing guy, and, actually hauled some, he hauled some gravel, like, scrap metal, stuff like that. So, there's plenty of work. It's just, I'm just not strictly driving. Sometimes it might be hauling gravel.
I find like, if you're cutting grass, there's really not a lot of traffic doing that.
Not generally.
No.
If there
you
is,
can go as fast as you want.
No, I mean, if you're cutting the grass on the highway, you know, and the median strips and stuff like that, it could be traffic involved.
And yeah, but not for crazy. Not in front of you directly. You That's know, true. You're in control of your destiny.
Yes,
there
you are. Don't turn left.
Nothing on the highways, but we get he has some definitely big accounts that we do. We cut like Menards. Places like that. So yeah, you get some traffic pulling in and out of there.
Sure.
Yeah, just driving a pickup and a trailer with some mowers on them and stuff, and that's a lot easier driving around town than a big truck.
He's the kind of guy that takes the pickup truck and he hooks two trailers because why? It's not long enough yet.
He hasn't reached his limit.
Right. I'm but not no, my 71 good. Feet yet.
That is really cool. I'm glad you're keeping yourself busy at least, Johnson. That's a good thing. And yeah, like you said, you know, we got to make a paycheck no matter what it is, one way or the other. We got to make a living because we still have to eat, you know. And until Joe Biden has his way, you know, everything isn't a college fund, as we joked about earlier. Oh. So, you know, it's just, it is what it is.
Yeah. It's everything's twice as much, you know, money these days. And
that's the truth.
You can't just sit around and hope someone's gonna pay things for you. That's for sure.
Oh boy, you got that right. Well, you know, speaking of money and things costing, we found out last weekend that our daughter is pregnant, so she's gonna have her first child.
It's a secret.
It isn't anymore. So, you know,
she's got a week or two before she's got to board up the windows. So, yes, Mr. Merkel is going to have a grandchild in the general area.
Yes, not just one, not just two in Tennessee, which is awesome to have them. We're heading down next week to see them. So, you know, it'd be good to see the kids. And but Tanya, she just told us she came back from vacation at Tony's house. And she said she wanted to talk to her mom and dad. She's like, hey, can we come over on Sunday and talk to you for a few minutes? I was like, all right, so what are you doing? You're moving down. You know, that was my whole thought was, okay, they're moving next week, you know? And she said, we couldn't find anything. And, you know, we're not moving. And she said, we're going to hang up, hang out up here for a little while. And then she gave Michelle a bag. And in the bag is these little baby bibs and a onesie and little, you know, socks and everything else. And I was like, yeah, well, you know, you put two and two together real quick in your head, and you're like, well, yeah, we're going to be grandparents again. So.
Or she could have went the other way and says, could you take these back to Amazon? Give me credit.
Shipping is freaking hilarious.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, grandkids are a blessing.
They are, aren't they?
We have three now. And
that's awesome.
We love them to death. Unfortunately, they're not close either. They're downstate. We're here, you know, obviously in the Upper Peninsula, and they're about 6 hours south of us. But we see them when we can, and I try to convince them to come up here, but no one likes the winters up here. I don't.
Exactly. They're just not having it. Like, that's not going to happen. Why don't you move down here?
Yeah, they say. Yeah. We're like, well, it's nice up here. It's country, and they're like, yeah, you got to drive 30 miles to the grocery store.
Yes, I keep getting that from Tony too. You ought to move down here, Tony and Jack. That's all I hear. You know, it's just you and Mom. You guys got to move down. Well now I have a reason to stay up here.
You tell Tony, man. He gets the compound built. You know, at least everybody has 5 acres apiece, build a house on it, and everybody moves down.
Exactly. So tell us a little bit about some of the things that you have on your, you know, we were perusing the the email that I got, and you know, enough yapping about me.
Yeah, enough about you. There,
I know,
Tony.
It's really not. Yeah, exactly. That's what I was like. I just started thinking to myself, you know, you really did shut up, Ryan, and just, you know, talk. Let Jamie and Johnson talk.
See, I was nice. I didn't go that route, but I was
thinking it.
You know, we're 15 minutes in about you.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
You know, we asked the guy a question. Oh, he's working for a contract. Okay, back to me. Thanks for coming on this conversation from Michigan.
It's nice to talk about me.
So I've been busy doing that for about a month now, and the wife's been here. We actually, now that we're home and we're not gone, you know, for 4 or 5 weeks at a time.
Right.
We went and got a couple pigs to raise for ourselves, and you know, just trying to do more things for ourselves instead of just everyone else doing it, and we paying them cash for it. So
right. Yep.
Yeah, which is good.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Keep her busy as well when we're taking a little time off here, little early retirement, you know. But
yeah,
nothing wrong with that.
How are you? Are you enjoying raising the pigs? Are you doing chickens too, or right now just pigs? Or
just pigs for now.
That's enough. It'll keep you busy.
Maybe next year we'll get in a few chickens and a garden. Possibly a cow, just things we can do for ourselves instead of, you know, going and giving a $10-$11 a pound for any kind of burger and stuff anymore. Is 5-6 pound, you know.
Yes, it's not crazy.
Not feeding them and all that's any really cheaper and time you put all your effort into it, but
well, you can't think that way. You can't think that way.
At least you know what you're getting.
Right.
You know? Yes, exactly. Oh, and you guys go hunting too, don't you? You guys hunt for deer and all that, right?
Yeah. We do some deer hunting and a little bit of bird hunting, turkey hunting, things like that.
Oh, that's cool.
Just what you do up here in the country, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
We're finally getting to enjoy that. We bought this house like 3 years ago. And in those 3 years, we were pretty much running across the country, you know, Michigan, down to the border, Texas, running a lot of automotive freight, just back and forth. And you're never home to, get anything stuff, you know, the stuff that you need to get done. You never have the time to do it. So thankfully that's a bonus now of, being home and, getting all those things done.
Right. Yeah, that's awesome. That is awesome.
I have that same problem every weekend. Nothing getting done. I just don't see myself doing it.
You're having an eye problem, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. But no, that's awesome. I'm glad. I'm glad you guys are at least getting a chance to take some time for yourselves and be home. And while you're still working, you're still doing what you need to do, but at least you have time at home. That is one of the things that for myself, you know, I never want, you know, just didn't want to leave Michelle with the kids. So I never did anything over the road, which it sounds terrible as a truck driver to say that. At the same time, it's like, it just, I got my CDL after we had kids, and I just didn't want to leave Michelle and the kids alone. So I know what you mean. If it could have been Michelle and me going for, you know, as a team, it probably still wouldn't have done it, but it would have sounded nice, you know, but I think it's cool that you guys did that for a while. You guys were, you know, driving as a team. I'm like, that is just so amazing. It's one of those things that is neat to see. You don't see a lot of it, but you do see from time to time, you see it and you run across. I mean, it's like, well, what was that like to be, you know, to run a team like that with your spouse?
Yeah, we were almost 7 years together. Uh-huh. I did it for about 5 years, previous to that. And, it just made more sense. We didn't have little kids at home. You know, they got older and started having their own life, and they only call you when they need something then, you yep. know, so.
Love the help, but I'm nowhere near you.
I'll see you in a month. You right. know? Yep. So, but yeah, we didn't have any little ones. So it just made sense for us to be together. And, we definitely enjoy it. And hopefully when, some medical issues clear up here and we get a little time, maybe we'll get bored of sitting around here in the woods, and we'll be back at it.
Right.
But yeah, over the 7 years together, it was awesome. I mean, it's work. Don't get me wrong.
Oh yeah.
there's always days, you know, but for the most part, we enjoy, like, you know, headed out west, and we'd never really been out west too much other than when we first started driving. And yeah, just, you know, going through New Mexico and seeing elk in the middle of the town,
in the middle of the road.
Wow.
Yeah, and then, you know, just the mountains out there and seeing all that. It's beautiful to see, a new experience, but it can take its toll on you, that's for sure.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it can. Absolutely. Yes, it can. Well, I see here on the, you know, that you guys had, did you see a Mothman in Ravenwood, West Virginia?
Yeah, I actually did that. We had yeah, that's another thing I want to discuss. We had a few, like, kind of paranormal experiences. Yeah, I actually seen one crossing over, I believe it's the Ohio River there, going into West Virginia.
Uh-huh.
And as I'm going over the bridge, the only thing I can say is that I didn't see it clearly. I just seen it in my mirror and, you know, doing 40 miles an hour in the dark. But
right.
It was... I the only way I would describe it would be like a Mothman, what they, you know, what they say is a Mothman. It was just almost like a large winged creature sitting on top of the bridge.
Wow.
It really didn't take off. It didn't, like, almost look like one of those things you, like, gargoyles you see on, right, like, some of the, like, churches or whatever. I'm not really for sure what they are, but
yeah,
it's literally was perched on top of the bridge.
Wow.
I've never seen anything like that before or after.
Uh-huh.
But it was there.
That is crazy. That's got to kind of, that's got to be like a shocker. You look up and you see something like that. It's like, wow.
Yeah. I thought maybe like just a big bird or something. And, you know, when I first seen it, and I was waiting for it maybe to fly off, and I'm like, what in the world was that? But just hit you, like, that's way too big to be any kind of bird. I mean, it,
right,
it was, I'm not a little guy, you know, and it was just as big as me.
So, wow.
Yeah,
that is,
yeah, I've seen that. I actually seen the elusive black dog.
Uh-huh.
Now I had been driving a little bit. This is
where I started.
Yeah, this is years ago, before those electronic things keep track of you.
Ah, yeah.
So I had been driving for a little bit, and I was tired, but yeah, it was definitely a black dog. And
wow.
It wasn't...
Did it cross the road in front of you, or...?
It just standing in the middle of the road. I actually slowed down to about 10 miles an hour,
uh-huh,
and it just stood there and stared at me. And it wasn't someone's Labrador, that's for sure, you know. Maybe possibly a wolf, but yeah, it wasn't in any hurry to cross the road. It didn't, wow, care that I was there either. And yeah, just stared at me probably 10, 15 seconds and then just strolled away, you know, off into the ditch. No kidding.
Wow. That is crazy. That is just, that's one of those things that, you know, you hear about, and I've never seen one myself yet. And part of me is like, I hope I don't ever, you know, get to that point where I need to see one. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I've always heard people say it, you know, and the kind of lure behind it and all that.
Right.
But I don't know. Maybe these guys are just tired. But it seems weird. They're all, they seen the same thing, you know?
Yes. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And again, never before, never after. But yeah, that night was... he was definitely standing there.
Yeah, that is just one of those things that, you know, and like you said, it's usually when somebody's really tired, you know, that usually seems to be the what it takes to actually see it. And, you know, like I said, I hope I don't ever get to that point. But it'd be interesting to see one, though. Don't just, to me, it's like seeing a Bigfoot. It'd be like, you know, it's interesting to see it. I wish I would see, you know, but I want to see it at a distance. I don't want to see it up close. You know, as I said to Tony, yeah, he's like, oh, we're going to go looking for Bigfoot. I'm like, you go, and then I'll watch the video. Because I don't want to find him. I don't want to be like, my luck would be, we'd be walking through the woods and he's right there in front of us. And, you know, you have a heart attack. But, you know, it's just one of those things that I like to see it at a distance. Like, you know, I don't need to be there. I'm good. Video, yeah, for me.
I've never seen one a Bigfoot. I've never seen one out driving.
Yeah.
But I have seen things and heard things out, you know, being out hunting and spend a lot of time in the woods. We do a lot of that. Uh-huh. So, but yeah, I have seen some things that I couldn't explain, tracks that I couldn't explain. So,
did you ever see a ghost or anything like that? You guys ever see anything like, you know, that's ghost-like or anything?
So I was getting fuel and he was sleeping and I don't remember exactly. I think it was Missouri. And I opened the door and I was putting my gloves inside, you know, the door. And mm-hmm. I looked up and I saw a face peeking around the seat. And wow. It like jerked back real quick. And I was like, I didn't know what it was. So I climbed up there and he was still sleeping. I could hear him sleeping. So I don't know what that was, but it definitely was peeking at me around the seat.
I tell you what, that was scary is what that was. I feel like, you know what?
It was scary.
Yeah.
He was sleeping because she heard the chainsaw running.
Yep.
Exactly.
I wasn't going to say that, but yeah.
Oh, my word. That would scare the tar out. I don't know if I'd climb back in. I'm like, oh, you know, I'm just going to sit here and wait.
Yeah. It's not Casper.
I noticed you said she heard me sleeping, not seen me.
Right.
Right.
Hence the comment about the chainsaw.
Wow. Well, was there any kind of interaction with it at all? Like did you know, or was there a lingering thing that went on in the, you know?
Yeah, it just went boo.
Right. I mean, like, you know, was it when you got back in the truck, was there anything that happened, or was it, you know, it was just kind of like you saw that and it was over? You know what I mean? Like, was that it?
That was pretty much it for that day.
Uh-huh.
But there were times driving down the road, I thought he was messing with me and poking me in the back. Like, you know how kids push on the back of a... And I'd look and he'd be sleeping. I could see him, you know, laying in the bed, sleeping. And, I mean, that happened on a lot. And I let him know about it a few days later. And he's like, you know, he's okay. And then, what was it, about a week later you had it happen to you?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we were driving down the road, getting poked in the back.
Wow.
I think they might have to change out that driver's seat. Or somebody's got a stick that they have that's telescopic.
Or a new truck.
Right.
I mean, you know, I don't know if just the heat, the seat's going to be haunted. That sounds like the whole truck has got somebody hanging around. Was that the truck you had it, you know, till the end? Were you still driving the same truck?
No, that was actually a previous company we worked for. We worked for about 5 years, 4.5, 5 years, and that was in their truck. But yeah, and strangely, maybe it was just the truck. Once we started with our new company, we never really had any issues. Never seen anything kind of paranormal. For the last like year and a half or so, we were driving with a different company. So I'm thinking we have one of them funny trucks.
Yes, sir.
That's what I'm thinking.
I'm agreeing with you.
One of those funny trucks that, this guy died at the truck stop, it's like a Disney ride. We just hosed it out and dried her off, and here you go. Here's your truck.
Yes. That is, because that's weird. You know, that's like, you know, when you have something like that happening, and then you get another truck, and it's a
poof,
everything
gone.
Is over. You know, so at least you know you're not haunted. Yes. The truck was.
Yeah.
Truck had some weird juju.
Yes, it did.
Every time we would go down, we would take stuff down around Dallas, Texas, out of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was, I like roofing materials, like rolls of like commercial buildings. They'd use like just giant rolls of almost like plastic stuff they put on the buildings. And we would haul that stuff down to around Dallas. And then we would go from Dallas straight down to the border, down by like Brownsville, McAllen area, Texas, far Texas.
Uh-huh.
And on our way back, almost every trip coming out of McAllen, far Texas, our lights would start flickering in a certain area. Actually, I think I looked it up and they had like some kind of folklore for the road itself in that area. But in this, we had no idea. We didn't, you know, we didn't live down there. We never talked to any locals except for, you know, or shipping and receiving people. And after looking it up, they had some folklore about, you know, that kind of stretch of that highway 281 coming out of McAllen. And almost like clockwork. Our inside dome light would start coming on and off. The headlights would even flicker a little bit because it was usually evening time by the time we got out of there, and it was starting to get dark time we started rolling back north.
Mm-hmm.
And almost like clockwork, you'd hit this certain area, and I thought maybe something to do with the, you know, because there's military down there in the border, and something to do with maybe their electronics or something. But
sure.
After looking up, I'm certain it was still that truck, you know. So.
Yeah, that is so weird. That is, I'm glad I've never had one of those. I don't want one. You know, it sounds, it's interesting. Like, I like your stories about it, but I don't want to have any of my own. Yeah. But that's really interesting. That is, you know, that's one of those crazy things that just, and how do you explain it? You know, other than it's got to be something that's just, you know, weirdly paranormal. And
I have that with my truck.
Do you?
Yeah. Lights and the wipers come on at a certain time. They just, it goes off. The lights go off. Hey, keep going. Just keep your foot in it.
That's
it comes back on eventually.
It's a beautiful Mac.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You know, it's a whole different issue in itself.
Yeah. I don't know if that's haunted or if that's just, you know.
That's just 700,000 miles of Pennsylvania road. I'm surprised the suspension's underneath it yet.
Oh, my word. Yeah.
And that's what my first assumption, the first few times we had it happen, I'm like, well, maybe I got a ground wire.
Right,
I literally got out, like, checking things. I had the shop look at it when we got back. Mm-hmm. And, but, yeah, nothing's fine. None of me, no codes are coming up. You know, everything's fine. And it'll be fine all week until we run this one little section, and then all of a sudden your lights are doing that. And,
yeah, I recorded it time.
Yeah.
No kidding. Wow. That is just crazy. That is just, you know, that is one of those really neat things. It's like, wow, that is really wild.
You know, you send it in a shop. Well, mechanic can't duplicate the problem.
Right.
Well, no kidding. Come on with me, mechanic. Let me show you what happens here.
We're going to Texas. Hop in.
You're going on a long road test.
Yeah,
we didn't have any weird going on with the truck that we drove, but we had, I had seen a few things going through New Mexico.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Do tell.
I had a car that was an old car. One of those that looked like, I don't know what kind of car was that I told you.
Mm.
Big, like, Caprice Classic or some old car.
Okay.
Late 70s.
And they were driving with their brights on, and they were driving really pretty slow. And I'd come up on them, and I could see, you know, they had like a fuzzy something hanging from their rear view mirror. And so I just paid attention to it, and I passed them, and there was no exits or on ramps or anything where I was going. And probably about 15, 20 minutes later, I come up on that car again, same car with the same thing hanging in the rearview mirror, going about the same speed with the brights on. Uh-huh. I don't know what that was about, but that was creepy.
Yeah, that's weird. I mean, how do you pass a car all over again? Wow. That is really weird.
And what's the odds that there was two of the same car?
Right. Driving the same way.
And yeah, very slow, yes.
Wow. That is really weird.
And then you say to yourself, I thought I passed that guy 10 minutes ago.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that's what I thought when she told me. I'm sure he just didn't pass you. Maybe he slowed down again. You didn't see him. And she's like, there wasn't really much traffic out. She's like, no, I would have seen the car, you know.
Right. Yeah, it's not something you would.
Because the guy's driving with his bright lights on.
Yep, those are the people. They catch your attention.
Yeah, as you pick them out of 40 yards away.
Yes, sir. Wow, that is really weird. And how do you, you know, again, it's one of those things. How do you explain it? You can't. It's like, you know, I don't know. Time travel?
I would explain it. If it was on 78, I would say it's either a New York plate or a South Carolina plate.
Yeah.
Or a PA plate. Just passing through.
Well, that is a crazy one. That is just, you know, that's not anything I don't think I've ever had that happen. That's really weird. That's interesting, Jamie. That is really interesting.
Yeah. We've definitely had some paranormal stuff out there. That's stuff you can't really just explain, you know. It shouldn't make really sense, but it's out there.
But it happens. And, you know, that's the reality of it, is that, you know, this stuff does happen, you know, and on the road. And it's, you know, usually at night, it's usually, you know, when when things are, you know, quieted down, there's less people, there's less traffic, and that's when you see the, you know,
yeah, but that's when the most freaks are out at night.
Right, exactly. I mean, we're out, so. But, oh, that is really cool. That is really cool.
Yeah, we've definitely had some neat experiences. I can remember, nothing paranormal, but picking up, and we picked up a load of nickels out of the Denver Mint, right in Denver, Colorado. It's right in the city center. And that was pretty neat. I never hauled money before. And I thought about bringing it home, but I realized it really wasn't that much. 40,000 pounds of nickels is not worth the job, that's for sure.
Right, exactly. Now, were they fully struck, or was like one side was struck and one side wasn't, or was that like they were completed nickels and all that? Like, I've heard different stories, you know, from people who have hauled for the mints, and I'm just curious. Like, were there officers following you or anything like that, or
that? No, there wasn't any. They obviously had tracking on the trailer and truck, and you know, this is only a few years ago. So they had all GPS on things, but yeah, there wasn't any, no escorts needed. And, as far as I know, everything, they were just going into circulation. Huh. We actually didn't deliver them. We just took them to our yard, and from our yard, they were delivering to like, I think 4 or 5, maybe 10 different banks, kind of local banks around the Detroit area. But yeah, I thought that was pretty neat. I'd never hauled any kind of money, and, they definitely inspect you pretty well before you go into, you know, any kind of government stuff.
Right.
But, you know, look around your truck, and they get inside your truck, and, you know, make sure you aren't any kind of felon or anything like that. Nothing too crazy for the like security part of it.
Right.
But, you just have to keep an app on your phone and one of those modes that, they keep an eye on for sure.
Sure.
You know?
That's interesting. Yeah, I think that's really cool. That's an I've never done anything like that. It just sounds like something to be an interesting load to haul a couple of times. You know, just kind of get that in and out of the mint and that kind of stuff. And you just dropped it in the yard and then somebody else came and finished the you know, wherever they were taking it to.
Yeah, we just left it in our drop yard lot there. I mean, I was all secured up, sure, and they were coming to get it. Within minutes, it wasn't like, you know, you weren't just going to leave it unattended.
Right.
We just left it there in our yard. And I think they made, cause you know, we were running over the road. They made all the kind of the local deliveries for, whatever they had to do with it. I wasn't really for sure. I think it was about 5 or 6 banks that they just basically took them to. It was pretty neat to haul that stuff across the country. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It's different. Were you going to say something, Chip?
No, saying if you're taking delivering them to the bank, so then they're already, you know, minted on both sides, ready to go.
Right. Yeah, that, exactly. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So he's hauling coin.
Yeah.
Making coin.
I think that's an interesting thing. That's just, I don't know, one of those things that would be a neat thing to do to you know, drive for the mint or whatever, you know, even just a couple of loads.
Look at it this way. You have enough weight, you'll never get stuck. That's
ain't that, and if you do, the government's there to help.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially if you got bills, you know, pallets of cash that you're taking to Iran or something like that. Oh, what? Did I say that out loud? I'm sorry.
No. Ukraine.
That was one of the things I never really realized got hauled, you know, across the country. And I've always seen like the Brinks trucks and things like that, you know, delivering to the bank and back and forth. But I never realized they haul money across the country. So
yeah, it is one of those weird things when you actually find out that that's how they do it. You're like, God, I'd never even thought about it.
I've hauled actual ink.
Yeah,
from it was Sun Chemical U.S. Ink.
Yeah,
that went to the mint in Rutherford, New Jersey. That they call that the New York Mint.
Oh, okay.
But it was right there off 17, right down below the exit for the Giant Stadium. The next, it was
right around Sea Caucus. Yeah,
right. Yeah. Right where Lawrence Taylor had his bar.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the mint was right there.
No kidding.
Yeah, fenced, you know, I mean, it didn't look like it was out of the ordinary. It was a nice fence and everything like that. And I never knew what it was until I had to go in one day. And, you know, there was a certain way you had to go in.
Right.
And you know me. Just hang a right, man. Go right in. Nope. But I got escorted in there and got in the right way. Nice. Yeah.
It seems appropriate because, I mean, the New York Mint should be in New Jersey, just like the New York Giants play in New Jersey.
Right.
You know? It just seems to make sense, you know.
But, yeah.
It's actually similar to the Denver Mint, right? It's literally just kind of right downtown Denver. Yeah. And to look at, you really wouldn't know. You would think it was just some.
It was. I literally drove by the place, you know, for years.
Right.
Just thinking it was some kind of highfalutin office place, you know, office facility. I never knew it until I actually got it, you know, there.
I had no idea it was there. I used to drive, you know, deliver over in Sea Caucus and all that, and in Rutherford and all that crap.
Yeah, if you came off Patterson Plank Road, 17 South, it was on the right hand side right there. Yeah.
Go figure.
Yeah.
Go figure. That's crazy. It is, you know, that's one of those weird things that that most people don't know about because we're just, you know, the government doesn't really want us to know about it.
Right.
That's why it's done that way.
But then I'm thinking, it's Secaucus, the swamp.
Seems appropriate.
Yes. Land's cheap there.
That's why Washington, D.C. is where it's at. You know, it was a swamp back in the, you know, 1800s.
That's all right.
Yeah, well, anyway.
Still a swamp now. You got to get me started.
We're still waiting to drain it.
They're waiting for that climate change to hit in the 10-square-mile area.
We're terrible, dude. We got to get off the government. They're going to get on us.
I'm right there with you. I go to the gas station or every time I go to the grocery store, you know. So
yes. Yes, I am reminded.
I just rolled past the sheets in that. Diesel's over five bucks a gallon already. Five and a quarter. I talked to one of my friends that run on, you know, independently.
Right.
He said it keeps going up. He says he might park the truck and actually come back to Pitt, Ohio until the diesel price goes down.
I don't blame him. I don't, you know, I was sitting, went up and got pizza and I'm sitting up there and I'm like thinking about that. For whatever reason, it popped into my head. You know, I'm like looking at my, you know, just look through the bank account and just see what, you know, what I have not had to buy gas.
I know.
For the past 6 weeks.
The last
weeks.
Time you I bought literally gas, haven't it was 370 gas. Or 340.
And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I have saved, you know, $65 a week for the past 6 weeks.
No, the first week was 65. The second week was 70.
I'm just like, I'm in my head. And I don't know why it popped into my head when I'm sitting there waiting for the pizza this morning. But I'm like, what the heck? You know, okay. Okay. Yep. Yeah. Wow. You start adding that all up and you're like, it's amazing what you don't spend when you're not going anywhere.
Right.
Which is, you know.
You must have a long commute just to get to work to drive, right?
I do. It's 45 minutes. It's or 45 miles. It takes me about,
Oh, wow.
Between 45 minutes to an hour. Depends on how traffic is. Yeah, I do 90 miles a day back and forth to work.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then I drive 500 miles. And then I, you know, drive another 45 miles home. It's like, what the heck? You know, and I've done it now. We've been living here since 99. So, and I've been working in there at Pitt, you know, 26 years. So
I was going to say since 97.
And it's just, you just look at it and you're like, holy crap. I mean, that's a lot. That's why my car has 367,000 miles on it.
Well, trust me, coming out here with my Blazer, I didn't know I put 8,000 miles on an oil change. I'm like, there's no way I wrote the mileage down wrong. No.
Yeah, every month and a half is an oil change.
Yeah. I'm like, holy crap. You know, that was when the blue truck was down. I was using that.
Oh, like, my word. It drives me nuts. But it's like, you know, you do get used to it, you know, driving that far. But you just, sometimes you think to yourself, it's an hour ride to work, an hour ride home. That adds 2 hours to my work day.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wow. Did I just hear 300 and some thousand miles?
Yeah, 367,774.
Yes.
Miles on my Toyota.
The Toyota's sitting there. Please, somebody drive me. Please, please. I just want to go for a ride.
Last Sunday was the first day I drove it.
I hope you're taking that down to
just to run it.
Yeah, down to Tennessee. I hope you're taking that.
Just to get it out
of the house. Just to rack some mileage on it.
I got to catch up. Oh, yeah.
Can you trust that thing?
No.
Those Pennsylvania clear roads in the winter.
Well, you know what? Because it's so old, I'm like, I don't feel bad if anybody hits me. It's 2001 and 367,000.
Well, that wasn't that the car like, you camped on there for 14 hours on 78 when the snow hit?
No, that was a different car. Yeah.
I was going to say, you know, Honda. He's gotten real close to this.
I have. I've gotten really close to this car.
He has seat time.
Yes, I do. The seat knows my feel. But yeah, you know, that's part of
definitely
it.
We've had some interesting loads out there. The Denver Mint was pretty neat. One of the ones we went actually just picked up water, but where we picked it up at, I'm sure you know a lot of over the road guys have been there.
Mm-hmm.
It was caves in Missouri,
right?
And that was a different experience driving a semi underground.
Yep.
To go load, yeah.
Especially when you're claustrophobic.
That's definitely not going to help.
I don't like that.
Wow.
I do not like.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, they don't. I mean, you got room once you go down. You got room in there, but they don't give you, you know, they don't give you a whole lot of room. You can get in and get back up to the dock and stuff like that. But yeah, there's no. You're not just doing U-turns down there or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But
why is that underground like that? Is that where the springs are at, or what?
Mm-hmm.
I think they just. I don't know why. I didn't understand why we were kind of picking up water down there because I didn't think water really needed to stay cool or anything. But it's just like your basement or anything underground. It stays like a steady temperature,
right?
So they don't have to refrigerate stuff. I know they do a lot of refrigerated. I think Kraft Foods is one of the places they do underground, and they keep all their cheese and things like that stuff down there. So. I guess it's cheaper for them to store it that way, you know.
I guess it's free air conditioning, basically, like a free cooler.
Yeah.
Until
hell breaks loose and everything starts cooking.
are those natural caves, or were they? Did they dig them out? I'm curious. Like, do you know?
I think some of it was kind of natural caves, but
man came in there to make it a little wider.
Yeah, so certain areas they went down and they, you know, it's honestly looks like a warehouse you would go to,
right.
Like a giant warehouse,
right.
But it's just underground.
It's just underground. It's crazy. It reminds you, it's almost on the same principle out there in Kentucky at the Corvette plant where the Corvette Museum is.
Yeah.
And when that floor caved in and all those Corvettes went in,
right.
It was the same thing. There was caves underneath there.
Oh, okay. Just natural.
Natural, you know, limestone and everything just, you know, just eaten away. And they had to prop everything up with poles, you know, support beams. And they go under there every day looking around now to make sure nothing's moving.
Wow.
But, you know, they actually had a panoramic view of it where, you know, it's as big as the thing is on the top where they store in the cars. That's as deep and high and wide underground.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really crazy.
But what I couldn't figure out is they built the Corvette Museum on top of that. Nobody ever thought about, you know, geology tests.
Who put the footer in?
Yeah.
Who dug the footer? That's what you want to know.
Same company that's doing our company.
Whoops, we went a little too deep on that footer. Won't tell nobody.
That was deep, boy.
Wow. Deep.
But Tom Schaefer was telling me about that.
Oh, that's really interesting.
The caves. Where else? Out in...
Yeah, I actually remember seeing that when that all collapsed. We were actually running through in that part of the country at the time. We were we had an account running stuff out of Tennessee, right at the border of Kentucky and Tennessee. South of Bowling Green there,
Bowling Green, that's it.
Yeah, I can remember seeing that. They had that all tore up and you had to go kind of a little detour down there, and yeah, it was pretty bad.
I
wouldn't want to be the engineer that built that place. That's for sure.
Nope. Boy, you got that right. Mm-mm. Not my fault.
Right.
Wow. So you guys were driving through the Hampton Roads Bridge tunnel on I-64. How did you do that unexpectedly? I'm curious.
So I was driving because it was my time to drive, and it was at night. And I just looked quick at the map of where I was going, you know, and not really paying attention. And like I said, I'm super claustrophobic, so the tunnels, I don't like those anyways.
Right.
And I'm driving, and I see this sign, and it says something about, I'm on the bridge, and it says something about entering a tunnel. I'm like, what? And he was sleeping, and I couldn't wake him up. And it didn't look like I was going to even fit. I mean, that was like the first couple months of me driving. So I wasn't really used to judging a whole, you know, very good. And I'm like, I drove really slow. There was no traffic, but I didn't know I was going underwater or under the ground, you know, under the water. That I did not like that at all. I cried. I cried driving through there.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to lie. It was scary.
It's all right.
But I didn't even know that it was something I was going to have to go through.
Did you wake Johnson up?
I tried to wake him up, but he wouldn't wake up.
So you really were on your own. It's like, yeah, well, I'm going to have to do this. Wow. Yeah,
I just drove slow and cried. And
how long is that?
I woke him up, and when we got there, and I said, I'm not driving back. I'm not driving through that again.
Oh, no, you go out this way. It's all open road.
How long is that tunnel?
It's not that long. I don't even know, a few minutes, but it felt like eternity.
Long enough.
It's long enough.
Yes, long enough.
When I first started riding with him and he was driving, he would go, was that 77 going down?
Yeah. We'd run some East Coast stuff, usually mostly West Coast stuff. Every now and then I'd get one of those loads up to the Northeast and have to go over there, but not very often. But I had never been through there myself either. And she woke me up and said she had to go through the tunnel. And I was like, oh, yeah, I know. There's quite a few tunnels over here. And she's like, it goes underwater. I'm like, what? Did you go the right way? I don't know. I don't think that's correct. I don't think you're supposed to go under the water. And but that was coming back out of there. That was pretty neat to experience too. I had never done it either. And actually we had to haul, we were taking a load of food out to like Virginia Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And but once we got there, realized there was some issues with, you know, the paperwork and all of this. So we ended up hauling everything we took out there through all that stuff just to bring it back to Michigan anyway. So,
wow.
Yeah, they wouldn't accept it, and it wasn't, you know, nothing that we could do, nothing,
right.
You know, in our control. Yeah, just drove all the way out to the East Coast there, Virginia Beach, just to drive back with the same stuff.
Oh, and my word. Wow.
That was the first time I ever had to do that, too. Like, a place wouldn't take the stuff, right. You know, so.
That's an expensive excursion, that's for sure.
Yeah, they paid me the same, you know, all the miles and all
good.
That, but I don't know. All got figured out, but I'm sure someone figured it all out. But one of those things that, you know, sometimes the drivers even got to deal with, like, because we sat there for, you know, about a day, day and a half, everything for them trying to figure everything out and what all it was. Stuff was supposed to be there and not there, and we took stuff that wasn't supposed to, and so some we had to deal with that was really in any of our, you know, control, but
right. Yeah. Oh my word. Those things happen. It's the industry, you know, that stuff, it does go down and it does happen. So you delivered glass bottles, glass soda bottles to a house in the woods. Tell me about that. That sounds like an like I'm trying to figure out, how does that work out? How does a house in the woods get a bunch of glass bottles? Do tell.
Yeah, we were, I don't remember where we picked those up. Somewhere across the country.
I think it was in Texas.
I believe in Texas, but yeah, a whole load, like 30,000 pounds of, just soda bottles. Like, you know, I guess most of them aren't bottles anymore. It's all plastic, but like the old Pepsi bottles and things like that. But, and I'm looking at this address and, you know, obviously we knew our way back to Michigan, so we didn't really pay attention too much of it till we got closer, and we're about an hour away, and I'm looking up and it's like, it says I'm taking this whole load of bottles to just a little house here in the middle of the woods. And sure enough, I guess it was correct. They had a it's Northwood Soda and Syrup Company.
Wow.
And they basically just do it out of their barn. And yeah, thousands of bottles, and thousands of gallons of different types of soda. And I come pulling up in a brand new semi in the middle of the woods, you know, and I'm like, am I at the right place? This says you're looking for some bottles. And he's like, yeah, back in here. And I'm like, okay.
Wow.
We get trucks in here every day.
They love those.
Yeah, it's UPS.
Yeah.
FedEx.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, yeah, obviously there was enough room, and it was a little sketchy getting in and out of there, but it wasn't terrible. And yeah, that was one of those kind of shocking loads that you don't expect to. I was expecting, you know, some kind of big building or
right. That's one of those loads you call for directions.
Yeah,
just come on down to the barn there that burned down 4 years ago. Make the left. Go till you see the old man on the porch with the dog with the shotgun. There you make the right. And you follow that road out, you come right up my driveway.
Till you find four mailboxes yeah. Piling, you know, all in a row. Right. Yeah. I know.
I've been there. Literally the first left past the big rock.
Right.
That's it. Take it wide because you don't want to take the rock with you when you go.
You'll upset my soda bottles.
That is, that, you know, it's crazy the things that, you know, people don't realize. The things that truck drivers do and the places that you get into to deliver stuff to it. So it's one of those weird things that just happens. Not everything is in town or
in the industrial
parks. You know, yeah. There's a lot of places that aren't, you know, it's the way it is. It's the nature of the business.
Yeah. This was definitely off the beaten path. That's for sure.
Heck yeah. So you guys delivered to a cemetery?
Yeah, we actually, our last company that we worked for, and probably we will go back to once had some medical issues and stuff like that. And if and when we decide to be back over the road drivers, we'll probably go back with them. They're part of a big nonprofit thing, and they do wreaths across America. I don't know if you've ever seen them.
Yep.
But yeah, they're a part of that, and some other trucking companies are as well. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a big thing. A lot of them do. And we delivered a wreath to a cemetery here in Petoskey, Michigan.
That's really cool.
Just below the bridge. And that's pretty neat. Pretty neat. They do. They put out wreaths for around Christmas time. And they have a lot of military in there, and they honor them pretty good with doing that stuff. So that was pretty neat to experience. Not your everyday, you know, just pick this up and get it here load.
Right. Exactly. That is, my sisters do the wreaths across America with, you know, my dad was in the service, and so they always get a wreath for him for it on whatever day it is in December that they do it. So that's why it caught my attention when I saw what the note had said there. I was like, that's really cool. I wanted to make sure we talked about that. That's really cool that you guys do that, that you had done that. I think it's neat.
Yeah. We got to deliver those ones. And actually, my uncle was in the service, and he's in, he's in Holly, Michigan here in the, little cemetery. And, we went and volunteered there before, to pick the up, with another group. We actually we just follow on Facebook, and there's a lot of ex-military and things like that, and they volunteer their time to, you know, help out with military things. And so we knew a few of them, and we went and volunteered previously before delivering just to pick them up. And so I thought it was kind of neat when they asked us to deliver them as well, because we had done that before, just picking them up. And I didn't realize it was trucking companies kind of, you know, volunteer their equipment, their people, their time to haul those things all across the country. You know, that's pretty neat.
That is. That is really neat. I as somebody who is, you know, as a family member of somebody who's in the service and a recipient of those wreaths across America, I thank you. I really do. Because I think it's really cool that people have done that and that you guys have done that. That's really neat. I think it's neat.
Yeah, I'm glad to experience it. I'm definitely, I'm as much griping as I do about how things are here, I know that it's really not that bad here, you know,
right,
compared to a lot of places. So I try to remember that. And yeah, it's awesome that, you know, even like I said, companies like that are willing to take the time to do that. I'm glad we got to be a part of it anyway.
Yep, definitely. Definitely. That's really cool. So you guys have been to Ogden, Utah.
Oh yeah, we had an account ran all the way out.
Uh-huh.
Out there hills, out to Ogden, and that was a nice account. I liked running that. Lots of miles, beautiful scenery, and it's all great till about November and December, and then no one wants to go over there.
Right. You know? it's like being in Upper Peninsula, Michigan in the wintertime.
Yeah, we don't have, you know, 15,000 foot mountains or anything like that to deal with, though. So
exactly.
But yeah, that was one of the nice places we got to see. We actually got a little time there. Uh-huh. Every now and then you get, you know, you got to get that 34-hour restart in somewhere, and it's nice to be home. But every now and then it was nice. Like I said, we spent our 34 out there. And went and did some fishing in the mountains and get to explore that. I think we've had some time. We had once or twice, we had like our 34 hour out in Vegas. That was nice.
Yeah. Be able to,
you know, spend a weekend in Vegas and half your paycheck. And
yeah. And how quickly it goes.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We had a couple nights there in Vegas.
That's neat.
I think we went to like Caesar's buffet that night, and this is like most extravagant, giant, beats any truck stop buffet you'll ever see. Let me tell you, they have everything in the world. I mean, don't get me wrong; it's about $100 for the dinner, uh-huh, you know. But oh yeah, you can eat until your belly's full. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, it's expensive, but it's worth it. You know, so that's really cool. Yeah, that's definitely really cool. So you guys have like in your travels, I mean, on here you have wild horses, giant elk, longhorn sheep in a town.
Oh, a lot of the sites we've seen on travels, you know.
Yeah.
We literally seen wild horses, right? This is a little town in little mountain town in New Mexico.
Uh-huh.
There's an elk standing right in town, you know, wild horses run through there, and beautiful to see, you know.
Oh yeah, I bet. Oh man, it's awesome. It is neat. It's really amazing to see nature, you know, just by itself when you're out there in, you know, kind of the middle of nowhere, you know, as people, you know, as we colorfully say, you know, the middle of nowhere, but it's really, you know, it's amazing what's around out there. You know, what you can
see. Might be in the middle of nowhere, but it's the last place you're going to see anything like that.
Ain't it the truth?
Because you're sure in the hell ain't going to see that in downtown Atlanta.
Nope. That is the truth.
You get a lot of those stories, but it's not all that. You know, I mean, you get the griping about Atlanta traffic, or no one wants to be driving around Philadelphia with a 53-foot trailer.
Yep.
You know? And downtown Chicago, but it's nice when you get those long runs and you don't have to be dealing with that traffic, because that can get terrible, you know.
And how? And I'd rather see the wild horses kind of traffic than downtown Philly traffic, or even downtown Shoemakersville traffic. You know, rush hour in Shoemakersville is horrible. You know, there's 1,300 people that live here.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow!
Yeah, it's amazing, and they all come out at one time.
Of them are on the road at 5 o'clock.
Exactly. So what's on the schedule for you guys? What's coming up next for you guys?
Right now I think just enjoying not being in the truck. Yeah. I think we're gonna try to put that off for the winter. Yeah. Hopefully, things, you know, get better with health wise and, right, stuff like that. But as far as making the money, that's where it is. You know, You can find local stuff that compares, but they're few and far between.
Yes.
Most of it is, if you want those big paychecks, you got to put on the big miles, you know? So, yep. But yeah, for now we're enjoying not being in it. And, yeah, we're going to take probably the rest of the winter's coming quickly up here. I know it's only August still, but
yeah, you go you another know. Month and a half. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. By the end of October here, it's here.
Wow.
You know, so. Yeah.
So you're going to be doing like some snow plowing and that kind of stuff for the winter time while you're up there?
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of gravel. And, you know, they do some recycling stuff like that. And most of the landscaping stuff's kind of done.
Sure.
That this guy I've started working with for now. But yeah, some snow plowing. There's a lot of maintenance things like, frozen water pipes. And
sure. Yeah.
Just think that he ventures into some rentals, and there's a lot of vacation rental places up here around the lakes and things like that. Mm-hmm. So there's plenty of work to be done, that's for sure. So,
yeah.
I think probably once the winter's over, we'll be back traveling the country again, hopefully, and because we definitely enjoy that too, but.
It is, it's the job. What were we going to say, Ship? Go ahead.
Well, it's always nice to be able to sit your ass in your own couch.
It is. Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah. We didn't even have a couch for 2 years. That's all gone. We were just gone that
much. Wow, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
They came off the road and they called Raymore and Flanagan. I need a couch delivered. We'll be home Tuesday.
We just put one in our house here, and we've been doing them. Like I said, we bought it almost 3 years ago now, and just kind of slowly been doing little by little over the past few years. And recently, the past few months, we haven't been over the road, so we got a lot of work done. And
good.
We just put a couch in a couple months ago now, so it's nice to come home and sit on, that's for sure. It beats the bunk.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. That's so true. Well, it has really been fun talking with you guys.
Every once in a while there, just pull out that stick and just poke her in the back when she's in her chair, just to make her feel good.
I think one of them Eaton Fuller, shift knobs over here on the side of my couch.
There you go. Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
There you go. Amen, brother. That is fantastic.
We didn't even have one of those. We've been in an automatic for the past 5 years. So
isn't it weird? That's one of those weird things that is just that's one of those transition things with the whole industry that is just kind of like, I miss it. I miss shifting gears. And at times I don't, when I'm stuck in traffic or something like that, it's like, it's nice. Just put your foot on the brake pedal,
Yeah. Yeah. They are nice. And they got the bugs worked out of a lot of them. There's not too much issues with them anymore from what I know. And, a lot of the first ones that came out, that was a lot of the gripe about them. There was just so much issues with them. And, but yeah, we never had any issues, and I didn't miss, or my left knee didn't miss that clutch.
Exactly.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I know how you feel. It's one of those weird things, and it's just the way the industry's going. I mean, I get it, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Thank God the industry's dumbing it down for us.
Because what would we do without that?
No. Well, I was just thinking, like he said about his knee. I might have gained maybe 5 years. Not shifting with this knee.
Boy, do I hear that. That is the truth.
Well.
So, but yeah, it was really nice talking with you guys. I really appreciate you coming on. I really, appreciate you sending the list there, Jamie. It was nice. I really appreciate I've been in contact with Jamie and Johnson for a while. We've been, just kind of talking back and forth, and I just enjoyed the conversations and the staying in contact with you guys. I really appreciate that. I appreciate the prayers for Michelle and for myself. And you guys know you're always prayed for here, on our end. We're always, I think about you all the time. I may not always, I'm not really great at staying in contact with people all the time, but you are both always in my mind. And I just really appreciate the friendship that we've built. it's really been nice. And I appreciate you guys coming on and just chit-chatting with us and having a nice conversation. It was neat to hear your stories. And I love the paranormal stuff. You know, it's always interesting. And it's fun to me. It's fun to hear that stuff and talk about those things. It's not a, like, I'm not one of those guys that's like, oh, you know, I don't know. You know, I think it's interesting. I think it's really interesting. So I appreciate the conversation, you guys.
Thank you. Absolutely. The only thing we didn't talk about is the thing I saw standing on the side of the road.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't want to forget about that.
Yeah, go for it.
We got time.
Yeah. Oh, my word.
Well, you were talking about Bigfoot earlier, and I don't know if that's going through New Mexico. They have a lot of those little roadside stands where they have aliens statues and Bigfoot statues,
mm-hmm.
like the typical ones where their knees are bent and they're kind of twisted to the side with their arms up.
Yep.
I know what those look like at night because I drove, you know, those by those every week.
Uh-huh.
And I was up to Tinney, New Mexico. It's between Roswell and basically Roswell and El Paso, kind of.
An hour out of Roswell.
And I come up on, I had my brights on, and I don't know what was standing on the side of the road. It was right on the shoulder, but I was looking it right in the eyes. It was that tall.
Wow.
And it was standing there with its arms like down to its side. And even with my brights on, it was so dark. Like I just could see its eyes. And I mean, what am I probably 9-10 foot up off the ground when I'm sitting there.
Right.
And it was looking me right in the eyes.
Wow.
And it scared the crap out of me. I didn't know. I was looking for it for the next couple weeks just to see if there was any, cause it was right in the front of a church. Like right between a church and like a little apartment building.
Uh-huh.
And it was standing right there and there's nothing there.
Wow. That is the kind of sighting that I want to have.
Well, I was going to say if it was close to the PA, it could have been Fetterman in his black hoodie.
It could have been. But thankfully she was in New Mexico. So. But that is crazy. That is just... That if I'm ever going to have a sighting of anything, that's how I want it to be. Like, I want to be like, I'm sitting in my truck and I'm moving and it has no, there's no way it's going to get me.
Nothing to see here. Just keep going.
But yeah, I think it's fascinating. I do. I think that is so fascinating. And it sounds like it was like it absorbed, almost like it absorbed your headlight lights, you know, and like it absorbed the light itself. It just maintained that super darkness about it. And all you see is just the eyeballs. You're just kind of getting the eye shine, you know?
Like darker than dark, like I hear on Tony's show all the time. That's what it was.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just fascinating to me. I just find that really fascinating.
And it's one of those stories, I was sleeping again.
Seems like you do a lot of bunk time.
He gets to miss out on all the cool stuff because all that stuff happens at night. Seems like
exactly that, and that's it. That's why I like driving at night. I'm waiting to see something. You know, something's got to happen at some point. It's got to break in PA. Yeah, I know. We got stuff around here somewhere.
The feds tell me I have to take 10 hours off, and I don't complain.
Amen, brother.
Feds also tell you work 70.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that part. Yeah.
Don't get me started on that.
Beauty rest is important to him.
It is important.
I've been many weeks in the 70s, and yeah. That's for the younger guys. They can have it.
Amen. That I agree 100%.
Those 10-hour days, 5 days a week right now, I'm not complaining.
Yep. Yep. That's plenty. That's good enough. I'm happy with that. My kids are all grown up and out of the house. I don't need it. I'm with you. I'm a happy man at 10 hours a day.
Well,
so
I can make sure HR and payroll adjusts that to your liking. They'll pay you for
they'll
only
pay
10
me for
hours
10
a
hours a day, but work right. me 12. Yeah.
You're still going to work 14.
The company will love me.
We will take care of that, hips.
Yeah. well,
but yeah, I'm glad to hear you guys are doing good, and hopefully you're back to work soon, and maybe not for you, but you know, for the company. Anyway, I'm hope you're back soon.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. And for Michelle, give her a break from me being home every night. She's not used to me being home after, you know, she comes home. She works 12 hours a day too. You know, yeah, I don't know how she does it. I feel for with her
job only is 4 hours a day. She volunteers the other eight.
She's like being away from me the other eight. She's happy to endure the pain.
You're making sure you got dinner ready and all that good stuff when she gets home now, right?
I literally do. It's true. I've been cooking. I've been, you know, yesterday I'm you know, trying to do some, we had, my sister was coming out to visit, so her and her kids, and so I was, you know, trying to get some straightening up done while I'm walking around with a cane, trying to move this and move that. It's like, all right, whatever. But yeah, I actually do cook. After I started driving last Sunday, I said, because, you know, I just wasn't driving for a while. Yeah, and you know, went down to the store, picked up some groceries, and got stuff for dinner. Yeah, she likes when I'm home.
Yeah, that's been nice for me as well.
Yep.
Jamie being home and, you know, coming home to a good home-cooked meal, and you don't get that out on the road, you know. You drive 11 hours or 10 hours, and you got an hour or two to clean yourself up and maybe grab a greasy cheeseburger, and then it's the next person's time to drive, you know.
Yeah,
so, that's right.
Health-wise, it's definitely nice to be home and cook your own meals and stuff you like and 100%. Try to eat a little healthier and, yes, you know, things like that. So that's a benefit of not being out there. But
it is. It really is. You're 100% right. You know, I mean, working the schedule that, you know, like Shipper and I work, you know, like you know, you guys, you know, driving at night and everything else, that's it. That's our regular gig. And it's like, it's hard to pack, you know, a lunch because, you know, it's not like we're living in the trucks because we're both day cab guys. So,
right,
you know, you pack something for lunch, but it's usually just cold stuff. You know, it's, you know, so I don't really, I eat a hot meal when I get up and then I go to work, and then until I come home, I just go to bed. But
yeah,
it's frustrating. It's one of those things that it's hard to find. You know, you have to work at it to make a healthy meal. You have to, you know,
yep.
It is what it is. It's the industry. That's what I keep telling myself. I'm in the shape I'm in because of the industry. It's not my fault.
We've both actually lost a lot of weight not being in the truck.
That's
since
awesome.
We've been home.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
All
the, yeah, I mean, you think about it. The time you're in the truck, you're just sitting there. You're not moving.
Right.
I mean, you're at home now.
Yeah,
now
you're able to.
Now you actually get motivated, as my wife has put it to me. And I find myself not being motivated.
That's usually where I'm at.
Yeah. 12, 13 years ago, before I started driving the truck, I never would have realized how much toll it takes on your health.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. I wouldn't have realized that. And you always see truck drivers. I mean, you know, not all of them, of course, but the stereotypical big belly, and you know, that's for a reason. Like,
yep,
you know, you're sitting for a living, and I wouldn't have imagined how hard that is on you. You know, so
yeah, it really is. You're right, 100%. You have to, you know, you have to work at it in order to not, because you do so much sitting. I mean, you can, you know, sit for 10 hours a night, you know, or like for us, 10 hours a night for, you know, day drivers or whatever. You know, 10 hours a day, you can be sitting all that time. You're not really moving. You're awake, but you're not moving. And until you're done, I mean, it's mentally and it is emotionally taxing. You know, till you get done, your body's physically tired. You know, it just is.
And then with us, when we, you know, he was driving 10 hours or so, and then he'd go lay down and I'd be driving. So it's not like you're done and you get to get out and move around.
Right.
And
right.
Do anything physically. You're just either sitting or laying.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. That's definitely something I wouldn't have perceived, you know, being an issue. That's something I definitely, you know, any newer drivers coming in, and I got a cousin that just started driving, I think 7-8 months ago now, and he's liking it. He's just kind of his first little stuff out. He'd done some local stuff, you know, mm-hmm. like UPS or FedEx, I believe it was, and just kind of, you know, one of their little box vans running around, but he decided to get his Class A, and he wanted to be out over the road, and
That was one of my warnings for someone new. Is like, you don't realize how much that can take a toll on you. 10 years later, you're looking like, man, how did I put on 60 pounds?
And, yep.
You know, how did I get so out of shape? And it just day after day. And next thing you know, you put 20 pounds on, you put 30 pounds on, and it catches up with you.
Yeah. And
that's for sure.
And the older you get, you know, your metabolism slows down. So there's you know, less of, you know, it's just the nature of the business, and it's the nature of our bodies is what happens. And so, yeah, I think it's, you know, it's good advice to give somebody who's just starting out. You know, keep an eye on that and do the best you can to make sure you get some amount of exercise every day. You know, even if you just get out and go for a walk when you get to a truck stop, or you get, you know, where you're going to park for the night, go for a short walk or do something, you know, anything, you know, just to kind of give yourself a chance, give your body a chance to move. That's one of the things that, you know.
At the time, you won't feel like it, you know, you put 11 hours driving in and it's been a 14 hour day and that's the last thing you want to do. But
yes,
you'll be thankful you did it, you know?
100%. Yeah. 100%. I'll tell you, you know, when you start replacing parts, you start thinking about these things. You know?
When you go to the bargain center and pick up a hip,
you're going to Ollie's.
An elbow, a knee.
Yes, sir. You know, I was just talking to my brother. He's got to get his knee replaced. I was like, dude, and he's only 6 years older than me. And I'm the youngest out of six. So it's like, holy crap. I'm the first one to have a hip replaced, but. Mm-hmm. You know, it's coming. It's coming for everybody.
I was going to say, maybe you might get the Merkel package plan.
It's kind of like that, the scene from Tombstone, you know, when Wyatt Earp says, you know, tell him I'm coming and hell's coming with me, because that's what it feels like. Hell's coming with me. That's where I'm at, you know. But no, it is. It's amazing. Hey, and you know, you said it's your nephew that's driving?
Yes. My cousin.
Your cousin. If he ever wants to come on the show, just let him know about, you know, tell him, hey, we'd love to, you know, especially getting the perspective of somebody who's really new in the industry, and just see what, you know, what he thinks of it and how it's going for him. You know, we'd love to have a sit down, you know, just chit chat with him. If he's ever interested. I don't mean push him. If he's interested, we'd love to talk with him. That'd be really cool.
Yeah, he'll send me stuff, and he's, you know, he's still excited about all that stuff, and
still out there smiling and waving.
Still out there smiling and waving at people. So
he's really wet behind the ears.
That'll change.
It's funny. The road hasn't worn him down yet.
And when it does, you notice it's like all of a sudden, boom, the change happens. That's how it was with Tony. When Tony first started driving, he was excited. He was like, yeah, I'm working 60 hours a week, Dad. Yeah, I'm doing this. Yeah, I'm doing that. I looked at his wife the one day. I said, Lindsay, just wait. It's going to happen. Yep. And the bottom's going to drop out. The fun is going to leave. It's going to be over. And, you know, and it did.
The honeymoon's over.
Boom. It was over. And he was just like, I was like, yeah, there you go. That's the truck driver attitude I like to hear.
How's your day? It's too late to tell.
Yep, exactly. Welcome to the club. Too early to care. Yes, sir.
But yeah, I talk to him often, and I'll mention it to him. I'm sure he'd like to come on and talk to you guys, and give his few months of experience here, you know.
Yeah, it's always
a rundown on that.
100%. Yeah, it's always good to get that perspective from the, you know, somebody who's new in the industry and see what they think. And we've been doing it for so long, we're all jaded.
Somebody
now,
that's new in the industry and has 35, 40 years to go before he gets out of the industry.
And still actually looks at the industry with a smile on his face.
Right. You know?
So it's like that's nice to kind of get that sometimes. You know, we forget how excited we were when we first started driving. You know, I mean,
Were you really?
Yeah, I actually was. I thought it was the coolest thing to go from driving my car to driving a big truck and sitting up high. It didn't take long, but once you got used to it, it's like, okay, now I've done it. Now I'm done.
Boy, if you would have put a lift kit on that Toyota Camry, you could have been driving a big car.
Right. I could.
Had the best of both worlds with no mileage.
Oh, dude, you're hilarious.
We're glad to come back on and talk to you guys. And glad you're doing good. And hopefully continue.
Amen, brother. I appreciate that.
One show at a time.
we don't get a whole lot of time these days to, you know, listen to podcasts like we used to be. Right. I actually got to work for a living now. I can't just sit and listen to the radio, you know.
But we still listen, and yeah, we enjoy all the people that call in, and it's nice hearing some of the stories, you know, little different experiences than what I've had and things like that. So
yep, I appreciate that. I really do. I appreciate you guys listening. And hey, you know, I like I said earlier, I appreciate you guys coming on and just taking the time and chit-chatting with us. And as Tony always says, chopping it up with us. I appreciated that. It was a good conversation. We had a good time. And you guys take care of yourself. Have a great rest of your weekend and enjoy it. Shipper, we hope everybody enjoyed this show. And if they enjoyed the show, what can they do?
They can share the show. Share it with their friends. Other people they don't like, whatever.
Other people they don't like. So you said they don't like their friends either? Share it with your friends and other people you don't like.
It's hard to say, you know. just share it with anybody and everybody. But I did find out recently.
Yes.
That a lot of women, wives of truck drivers, are finding this show before the husbands are. And then the wives are turning the husbands on to the show.
How'd you find that out?
I heard that when I was through the grapevine when I was... had an encounter in Harrisburg. I was like the star of Harrisburg because apparently one of the Richmond guys come rolling in. He walks out and I'm still waiting on my paperwork. Another Richmond guy comes walking in, looks at me. He walks out and then the same guy turns around and comes back in and introduces himself and asks me if I'm Shipper. And I'm like,
what do I look like?
What? And he actually said his name's Crawford.
Okay.
Crawford's his last name. I don't know his first name.
Mm-hmm.
But he comes up to me, nicest guy, comes up to me and says, I'm a people person too. I'm like, holy crap, you listen to the show.
Oh,
and he said that his
hilarious.
Wife found the show and, you know, he started listening to it and he was talking to Bruce about it.
Oh, yeah, that's really neat.
I was like, you know, $5, I'd give you an autograph.
You start carrying around pictures so you can sign them for people, right?
No pictures.
Oh, that's really cool. That's really
cool. So,
neat,
the word's getting out there slow but surely, but I appreciate it.
Yeah, most definitely.
And
most
definitely. As far as you guys, Jamie Johnson there, you know, hope you get a speedy recovery there and you get back on the road if you want to.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Or find, you know, just do like a date, you know, date gig, you know, daytime gig, like, you know, where you're home every day.
Call me up. I'll ask the people here, you know, my contacts if we're delivering to UP of Michigan yet. I'll get back to you on
I'm
that.
I'm pretty sure we do.
No, I think we interline out with somebody. I think we do.
I know we got Battle Creek.
Right.
And I don't know what else.
But that's a bunch of cornflakes out there.
That is a bunch of cornflakes out there. So anyway, all right. Well, you guys, everybody take care of yourselves.
And until we talk to you again, you know, you guys have a good holiday. You know, the holidays are coming up, though. So enjoy shoveling that snow there in the UP of Michigan.
Well, you know, before you know it, it's going to be Christmas. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, once we pass Labor Day, Christmas is right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like 4 months away.
Yes.
On the corn.
Once we hit Christmas, it's virtually one more year.
One more year for what?
Biden Falls.
Oh, I thought maybe you're retiring or something.
No.
Too early for that.
I'm hoping things will change.
Too early to tell.
I'm on the Obama plan. I'm going with hope and change.
This is the too early to tell, too late to care.
Yes. This is that segment.
All right. Well, everybody, take care of
yourselves. I just don't want to pay $5.25 for diesel, fix that.
With that being said, keep the hammer down.
In the hammer lane. Good night. See
ya. You never guess the places that I've been. You never guess the places that I've been. 'Cause everything is like a dream, yeah, but only in that dream that I live in. I'm never gonna let the day begin. Never gonna let the day begin. 'Cause everything is like a dream, yeah, but only in that dream that I live in. Oh, don't wake me up before you go. And I'll just make this bed my home. Oh, darling, please just let me sleep. Give me my dreams.
in that world that I dream of. Never gonna lose the ones I love. Never gonna lose the ones I love. Cause everything is like a dream, yeah, but only in that world that I dream of. Oh, don't wake me up before you go, cause I can't face this day alone. Oh, darling, please just let me sleep. Give me my dreams. Give me my dreams. Give me my dreams.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com. This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.